I wanted to, I walked to my cats and like, oh, you're going to walk into MMY, all the girls are going to ask, you're not going to have time to teach. Why don't you teach during the break? We'll tell the story what happened during the break. This way it doesn't take up your class time. So I figured, you know, it'd be good to be able to tell the story, and if I record it, and I'll just post it to 75 people who haven't responded yet on WhatsApp who are asking for the story as well.
Get it really out there.
So, any event, I'll try my best to just share the interesting parts. I'll try to share the inspiring parts. I'll try to have my best the parts that you can learn from, since it's like a religious message. Because everything is a religious message as well, but I really think that's true. Anyhow, so I was in America doing the Israel Nights. We were in Long Island. It was supposed to snow on Thursday. There's a 6:30 flight, the O2 flight from Kennedy back to from JFK to, you know, from Kennedy Airport back to Tel Aviv. It's supposed to land at 11:40. I got there plenty of time. I figured it's snow and why not? Let me just, as soon as I can, I'm there sitting at the airport, 2 o'clock. 5:30, after 3 hours of working on my computer and learning and doing whatever I'm doing, they push off the flight a half hour, an hour. From 5:30 to 6:30, they're going to board at 6:30. We'll leave at 7:30. Then they push off another half hour. People are already wondering what's going on. It's going to be Shabbos. We're nervous. People walk over and ask the guy behind the, you know, by the counter. Yeah, the late LL, you know, there's a lot of traffic. They're all just, all the tzevet, the whole staff is all running late. It's incredible traffic on Thursday. Turns out, we heard, I don't know if it's true, we heard they were also, they left maybe 40 minutes as well. It's supposed to leave at 3, they left at 3:40. Probably should have left earlier because of traffic. They pull up to the airport at, I don't know what time, they get to the gate at around 8:30. So that means they're pushing it off, pushing it off, 6:30 flight. They get to the gate 8:30 until we got into the plane. It was really like 8:50 or something like that. Everyone's nervous. Meanwhile, people yelling at the guy behind the gate. I got to get home for Shabbos. You know, why are you lying to us? It's not the late 7. It is a late 7. You know, the staff is late. They're not late. People are yelling and, you know, already a lot of yelling already at the gate. And, you know, and then the staff walks in. And it made a lot of people angry. I think the captain shows up. They don't walk in running. They walk in, you know, they come and enter walking slowly. The captain's got a coffee in his hand. You know, people are like, he's had time to stop to get a coffee. You know, like, you know, like people are really upset at that. So there's already like a distaste and like an unsettles and like people are a little bit, you know, probably hungry also and want to come for Shabbos. We get on the plane. I'm a great plane sleeper. So the second I get on the plane, I fell asleep. I wake up at 11 p.m. We still haven't taken off. Now we're supposed to leave again at 6:30 and get in 11:40. You do the math. You know, it's like 5 hours later from 11. We're nervous. We're going to get in 4:30. Shabbos starts at 4:40. You're not going to get off of Machal Shabbos. Especially religious people are very worried. I feel bad. I was not so worried of protesting or anything. I was just sleeping. When I woke up, you know, I hear the captain saying, okay, now we just finished the plane de-icing. We're ready to go. Everyone, please sit down. People are like, we don't want to sit down. We're going to fly on Shabbos. I'm not willing to fly on Shabbos. I'm not going to sit down. We're not going to fly on Shabbos. Religious Jews were yelling. Stewardesses were yelling. Non-religious Jews were yelling. And frankly, if you've ever seen like one Israeli yell at another, the other one just say like, well, thank you for your thoughts. No, America doesn't happen. But Israel, they just yell back. They yell back. America's not the other guy walk away. Okay, I don't care what you have to say. I'm leaving. But Israel, yell back. There's a lot of yelling and yelling back, and why did you, and why could you, and you're ruining my flight, I'm ruining your flight. And anyhow, so that, they get, all of a sudden the captain gets on. The flight attendant, not the captain, whatever, the pilot. Here's your pilot. We're going back to the gate. You have to worry about, you know, I'm going back to the gate, everyone go, please sit down. People don't know if he's telling the truth or lying. They definitely accused him of lying. It's one of two. Mamish, a few seconds later, there's this yeshiva shavuos gets on. Turns out later on, I found out his name. You know, Rabbi, what's his name? Saruskin. It was like a big fundraiser. Supposedly, he has like 45 yeshivas and 3 yeshiva katanas and 6 yeshiva gadolas and a kolel, another kolel. And supposedly, everyone's talking to him. He brings in $12 million a month of tzedaka. And he's a tremendous, so he's like, and he's a big guy. He's a big guy, the gavra. He's like kind of running around, like, I don't know if he has ADD, but he's definitely got like loud. So anyhow, he gets on the microphone. Like, I've never heard that nail on. In any airline where like a passenger gets on the microphone, Raboisai, Raboisai. Like mamish, the most Yiddish English Hebrew I've ever heard in my life. Af echad loy tzorech lidoig. You know, no one has to worry. We're going to get in before Shabbos. Shishim dakoy slifne ashkia. Now, you know, 60 minutes before the earliest Shabbos, you have to worry. We'll all be back. And if not, I have a yeshiva. You're all welcome to come to my house, to my yeshiva. I'll give you a place to sleep. I'll give you food. No one has to worry about anything. Within 60 seconds, everyone's sitting down. This is maybe 3 or 4 minutes after the pilot said they're going to the gate. Meanwhile, they're already turning towards the driving already. No one knows if we're going back to the gate or not. We're not sure. And like 3 minutes later, we're up in the air. So people feel either there was very fickle, or more likely, he said they're going back to the gate, even though that probably wasn't the truth. I think the guy from Dan of Dan's deal, if you saw.
He was on your flight?
No. It was a lot of cool people on the flight, but he was not. But somehow he got a recording of JFK to the pilot back and forth. There's a WhatsApp group that we made of everyone who's on the flight.
Are you serious?
I'll show it to you afterwards. So he has the recording. You'll see why. We're coming out with a T-shirt. Anyone who, like a sweatshirt, you know. Anyhow, so from the recording and with the conversation that you can hear the pilot and the JFK talking, it really does sound like they had. It sounded like he lied. Anyhow, we get off. We start heading up. This guy Sarusky made his point. People stop fighting. Everyone sits down. Everyone's like, "Wow." This guy Sarusky, we'll get there. Shishim Dakos Lefeshki. We'll get there at 3:30. You'll have time to get home. You have to work at 3:30. I'm starting to question if I get into a cab. How far is Tchum Shabbos from my house? I have to get out and walk. You know, and if it's still a cab, and maybe a guy's taking me in. I'm sorry, Tchum Shabbos wouldn't help. How far do I have to get to? So if I want to get out and walk, it's not a problem. So maybe the guy can drive me in if it's still Beit HaShemashim. A million one cheshbon is going through my head halachically. Fine, we get in. Planes begins to go up. We're moving on the runway. And all of a sudden the TV goes on and it says estimated arrival time, 4:24. Like 4:24, wow, that's like almost an hour later. But people are like, well, they make up time. They go quicker. And they did. Have you ever been on a plane that goes like 550, 560 miles an hour? Right? This was going like 720, 740, 760. We were like well into the sevens, you know, like much faster, 20% quicker than, you know, usually go. The pilot, again, no pun intended, he was flying. Anyhow, you see the clock going down, you know, 424, 419, 410. I went back to sleep. Again, we're good plane sleep. I woke up and it's like 310. I was like, this is Givaldic. 310, unbelievable. We'll get there on time. We have time to stop off for a snack on the way home. You know what I mean? Like, then, like, as we're going along, people are schmoozing, people are telling the story, people, what are you going to do? We're going to make it. All of a sudden, the rumor starts going in the plane, we're not going to make it. Niyepa Shabbat Batuna, we're going to spend Shabbos in Athens. 3 or 5 minutes later, after the rumor starts going out, the pilot gets on and says, okay, everyone, we're not going to make it for Shabbos. We may or we're not. We're not sure we're going to make it. In order not to Chas V'Shalom take a chance of being Mechalel Shabbat, what we're going to do is we're going to stop in Athens, and anyone who wants to get off, and get off and keep Shabbos. And because Ella, he didn't say this, but the rumor is, I think it's true, Ella doesn't fly on Shabbos, and he doesn't fly on Shabbos, doesn't have any passengers on Shabbos. They can fly a plane, but not any passengers. So an Israel Air flight is coming from Israel to beat all the Mechalei Shabbos in Athens, and they'll get on the flight and go home, and everyone else will, you know, will spend Shabbos there. So we're a little nervous. They didn't tell us if there'd be a hotel or not. Food or not, when we're flying back. I'm taking along my breakfast with me. I got like an omelet in that, you know, the silver cover with the plastic on top, stuffed into my pocket because I'm nervous. That's my only food for Shabbos. And the guys are raiding the kitchen, pulling out bagels for Lechem Mishnah. It was like a total, no one has any idea. Are we sleeping in an airport in Athens? Are we sleeping in a hotel? Is there anything what to do there? We're all really nervous. We have no idea what's going on. They didn't tell us if we're returning Saturday night or not. Everyone is up in arms. We have no idea. We end up landing at the airport and we get out. The people are still unsure. We don't know what it's going to be. Then we meet an El Al stewardess. For starters, we get on the bus. And there's a couple of Chassidish guys and there's a couple of Shivish guys, a couple of other religious guys, myself included. We start dancing Yismuchu v'malchuscha, that we're so unbelievably happy that we have the opportunity to keep Shabbos. You know, we're not stuck. It's not onerous. We're not difficult. So like this bus that's leaving for the airplane has, I don't know, 60 or 40 people on it. I have the video. I'll show you the video. We're singing Yismuchu v'malchuscha shomrei Shabbos. You know, it's an unbelievable simcha, you know, and etc. Then we get to this, you know, we enter the airport. And they take us to this hotel, which was great. And there's this one guy who turns out it's Rabbi Akiva Katz. His name is with a K, Katz. big Talmud Chacham, at least knows the halacha a lot. And he starts mentioning everyone how it's going to go on. Number one is, you know, you have to worry, you know, you don't have to worry about food. Chabad bring over enough food for everyone. Number two, or Chabad bring over food, I shouldn't say enough food. Chabad bring over food. Number two is, you know, in terms of Shabbos, in terms of halakas neiros, here's what you should do for halakas neiros. And here's what you should do in terms of the card, because you can't open it without a card. You should put stuff in the safe and not open it up. In terms of Shabbos, if you turn on a bathroom light or a side room light and whatnot. And then he talks about, it's like an Indian of Erev Chatzeros. You know, it's like if a bunch of the Rishos HaYachid next to each other, you have to have one Erev Chatzeros that puts the whole thing together. He's like, maybe I'll, he's like, if anyone wants it, I'll be Zoch, I'll be, no, you don't even need it. And the truth's right. It's Machlok, it's Poskim, but most Poskim think for an apartment building you do need, but for a hotel you don't. We don't need an Erev Chatzeros. He mentions all the drinks that LL's treating us to on the bar all night long, coffee, tea, soda, as much as you want for free over all the Shabbos. There's like a bar there. And we're going to get rooms, but unfortunately there only are, okay, we'll get rooms. Everyone's waiting in line. 5 minutes into the thing, the LL steward is quiet, everyone down again. We were told there were 80 people, and it turns out it was close to 180 people. We're not going to have enough rooms for everyone. So right away, bedlam. You know what I'm saying? Pandemonium. It was like totally nuts. Everyone's like, what am I going to do? I have no place to sleep. People start pushing to the front. First come, first serve. So right, that's like, a you know, elbows flying, people to the front, whatnot. I feel bad saying this, but I felt like it was like the Holocaust. You know, we're like, some people sat politely and said, please take us, there isn't enough for all of us. And some people said, there isn't enough for all of us, I'm taking myself first. So I was I was one of the more gentle people there. So I didn't have, I'm not sure I'm going to get a place, not get a place. But I see one of my friends, who I knew from high school, who was like first online, you know, even before they made the announcement. They just happened to already have a room. He went up, put his stuff away. I see him talking on the phone to his wife, and they're apologizing for not being able to come home. He works in America. He wanted to spend jobs with the kids, and they apologize. He feels terrible. His name is Mitch Rich. Anyhow, so he, I'm like, Mitch, let me just still sleep in your room with you. And then there's so many, what?
My brother or Mitch?
His brother.
Oh, funny.
Older brother. So there's so many levels along the way of like what happened in conversation, people who I met. I'll tell some, I'll leave some out, I don't know. Anyhow, so I slept in the room with him. He brought me up. It was very kind to bring me in. And all, it's like the flight is 180 people, maybe it's like, I don't know, 30 people from like married, you know, with their wives and kids there, their husbands and kids there, you know, families. And then there's maybe like 100 single men who are all working, 120, 150, whatever, single men, married men who are all, you know, working in America, 100, whatever it was. You know, one guy works as a lawyer, one guy works as a doctor. There's about 40 fundraisers, you know, raising for Sephardi Kolim, Ashkenazi Kolim, for a new shul, for building Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you know, Mamish, you name it. People raising all sorts of money all over the country, all sorts of Gabbite stock. Everyone still has this guy, Saratskin, he's like the best of all the Gabbite stockers everyone's talking about. Gabbite stocker, everyone has. Apologizing to the wives, I'm so sorry, I know you have to be with the kids. I know it's up to the last 3 weeks with 8 kids now, you know. I know you really want me for Shabbos, what am I going to do? I'm stuck in Athens, I can't get home. I was talking to a bunch of these guys, we all became friends afterwards. Some I knew from high school, some I knew from around, some I didn't know I met, some I have names I've heard of that we connected to. And it was really just great, you know, like everyone talked about the different reactions of their wives. It's like, my wife let me go. She knew it wasn't that my fault, she let me off. She's like, not my wife. You know, like, it's understandable. I'm not blaming the wives. It's totally legitimate. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, watching the kids 2 weeks straight, 6 kids, it's probably crazy, waiting for dad to come home with everyone's, you know, electronics and whatever else the kid in 5 bring back. We get to the airport and we get our rooms and everyone's like starts turning on the internet. And we see they have these disgusting stories, really, really one-sided by stories. You know, Haredim riot, flight gets delayed. You know, which is a little misleading because it got delayed 99% because of El Al and the weather and, you know, JFK and whatever else. And, like, it wasn't just Haredim. It was all sorts of Jews and all sorts of religious Jews and non-religious. No one was rioting. Anything, people were, like, protesting or standing up, not in their seats. And in any event, you know, so then I go up, I shower, we get ready up for Shabbos. We already daven mincha on the plane because everyone's afraid that if we didn't daven mincha, you're not going to catch it for Shabbos, you'll miss a mincha. So we call mincha 5 to 10, five, you know, 10 to 5. I have 12 people at mincha. Maariv, I think 5:15 or something like that. You know, I walk into Maariv and like, I know there's like 30 people there. Everyone's still putting away their stuff, you know, unpacking, or a couple people still trying to find out details with rooms. I don't even know exactly what they did. They bust off 30 people to some Holiday Inn in another room. And yes, I walk in, and there's like maybe there's like 30 Hasidim sitting around before the room, sipping tea and doing, you know, schmoozing and you know whatever it was. And I walk in, it's like maybe just before Shkia and whatnot. A couple guys smoking the last cigarettes, whatever is going on, you know. So I walk in, getting ready for Kabbalah Shabbos, and no one's getting up to daven. It's already time, like a minute or two later. I figured, you know, I should probably go daven. And I said to myself, I'm going to daven like a really. If you saw my name was in like a lot of these articles, and if you saw they got the wrong yeshiva, Tarek Kohen, they definitely got the right name.
And what did they say
were wrong? That's how they thought. Well, there's a guy, Ben Chafetz, who's a really nice guy. Yeshiva Shagai from Cleveland, who's a real tzaddik. I got to him later. We became good friends over Shabbos, but he just got the wrong yeshiva. He doesn't know, you know, the difference. He knew of one yeshiva in the old city, and that was what it was. That's what he wrote down, even though it was not right. So I walk in there. I figure I'm going to daven a call back davening. Everyone walks in. Everyone has their head, like, down, like, depressed and downtrodden. And no one's excited to be there. No one. You know, and I figure I'll start singing. I'd have a really nice callback, slow and singing, and like the place caught on, like it was like wildfire. There was like 150 people singing and dancing. Like we sang for about an hour and a half, maybe an hour long, marav, you know, singing, and it was just really nice. And people singing Yismuchu v'Malchuscha again, you know, like we're keeping Shabbos. Beautiful davening. And we had dinner. There was enough food for everyone. But in the first, again, you saw people. One guy taking 6 pieces of fish. One guy taking 4 pieces of fish. And making sure. And there's some other guy, you know, who's like half his salad, giving it to some lady. Turns out the Chabad there, they cooked for 180 extra people. I don't know exactly. I think they have like frozen meals, I think, that they keep. Because they have like 4 or 5 times a year, they bring in thousands of meals from some caterer who knows where. And they keep them all frozen. They need them. They have guests for Shabbos. There's 2 Chabad families. One guy stayed home with 130 families. One guy came to the hotel and spent Shabbos with us. He was telling me how he has to like, his name is Mendel Hendel. So Mendel's not surprising, he's Chabad. You know, but Hendel is like easier to remember. So he and his wife and his little son, Lady, probably Lady Yitzchak, you know, were all preparing and serving and getting ready. And they had Erev Shabbos, they're trying to best to talk about to the cook how they're going to put up a hot plate. Okay, fine. 20 hot plates, 40 hot, 180 people. It's a lot of extra guests for Shabbos. Who expects it? So they did it. They were mamish unbelievable, these tzaddikim from Chabad over there. Then afterwards, there's a guy named Jonathan Poley. I don't know if people know who he is. Jonathan Poley, pardon me. So he's like an old man, boys choir singer, fantastic voice, great singer. So he led like singing. We sang for like an hour and a half. They sang Koach Sofro. It was really just beautiful, singing. It was like a really nice tish afterwards. And you know, it was so interesting. It was like some people were really, again, like the food came out. Some people like trying to make sure they got. Some people brought enough for the table. Some people were like everyone else. But once we realized there was enough food, then everyone was like unbelievably generous. All these guys had brought duty free. So what do you have in duty free? Makeup and chocolate. Nothing to do with that on Shabbos. But a lot of alcohol. Everyone was like pouring each other, you know, 60 bottles of alcohol, l'chaims for everyone. $180 bottles of alcohol, l'chaims for everyone. And like there were a couple, again, half of these fundraisers are probably like l'chaim type guys. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, mamish. Yeah. There were a lot of l'chaim. Yeah, exactly. So that was really great. I'm trying to think like what else happened. Every event along the way was like really cool and interesting. I woke up, I went to bed like around 9:30. Some guy, you know, I didn't have a chumash. Some guy's like making sure he finished the parsha. Does anyone else need a chumash for it to be Mar B'Sedrin? And also reached 9 Mikra B'Echa Torah. Am I finished? I want to make sure. We didn't have our stuff. No one had big day Shabbos with us because whatever you had on the plane. So like everyone's walking around in like weekday clothing, you know what I mean? Like what they wore on Thursday, what they wore on Friday, what they wore on Shabbos. We also wore, you know, Saturday night when we get home, fine. So I wake up at 6, I finish, I'm Arba Sedge, I'm through the parsha with Rashi. You know, it turns out there's a Sefer Torah they had the next day in Shul, the Chabad were a Sefer Torah, unbelievable. I woke up 6 o'clock in the morning, my roommate, Mitch Rich and I, when I went to sleep, we had a nice conversation, hashkafic debate. This is like classic, you know, like Siyata Dishmai, you know what I'm saying? Like, is it that we were there 100% Siyata Dishmai, or maybe it's Siyata Dishmai, you can't know. But there's a machlokas that we were, like, particular. According to the Sefer Achidach, he writes, the Isra of Nakama, like taking revenge, the Isra of Nakama. So what's the reason for Nakama? So there's like a few different explanations, like what's the, like, time of the crow, whatever it is. So the Rashbam seems, probably the Rambam even also, at least implies, maybe the idea of Nakama is it's Ben Adam L'Chaver. In other words, get past it, someone did wrong to you, move on, get past it. Don't take it back. Don't take it out on them in return. You know, it's not a nice thing to take revenge on people. Like, that's where it's coming from. Bein Adam L'Chaver. But there's an unbelievable Sefer Achinuch that says it's rooted in, it's like a hashkafic thing, an ideological thing. It's Bein Adam L'Makom, really. It's a chisaron and amuna. Because there's no way HaKadosh Baruch would have ever allowed anyone to do anything to you bad unless he wanted it. And if you wanted it, it's because it's justified and it's justice, and that's why you deserve to be hurt or whatnot, which is unbelievable in terms of free choice. It means I cannot hit you, even if I tried to. Kadosh Baruch Hu will, I don't know, psychologically change my thoughts, my action, because if you don't deserve to be hit, I cannot hit you. It's like a real restriction of free choice. That's the Sefer Chaim. Then we're talking about Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim seems to disagree. The Or HaChaim's found the Sefer Bereishis. When the brothers threw Yosef in the pit, so Reuven makes a suggestion, instead of killing him with our hands, let's let him die in the pit. It's based upon Rashi, Vaborei Kevo Mayim, even though there's no water there, there were...
Scorpions.
Exactly. The Choshim Ve'ach exactly. There's like scorpions and snakes there. So they're going to let him die? So he says, what's the difference? If you kill him versus let the animals kill him, what's the difference? What do you gain by doing that? At least Yehuda says, sell him, it makes sense. Like, what's Reuven's thought? So this Or HaChaim explains that you can never die before your time based on nature. But a person can kill you before your time. We have the koach to hurt each other, kill each other, damage each other, even if it's not like magila, it's not, you know, it's not justified or not really justice to do so. So that's in the case. It sounds a little different, right? This sounds like I do have the free choice. Nature cannot. That's why I threw him in the pit. This way, if the snakes kill him, it's because he deserved to die. If the snakes don't kill him, then it means, you know, his dreams were legitimate and he wasn't trying to, whatever the reason why they're passing, he should die. That's the Or HaChaim HaKadosh right there in Bereishis, in Perek Lamed Zayin. But the Hashkafik Yisod to pull out is that sometimes things can happen because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of lifts up his hands and allows people's free choice to figure out what's going to be in the future. Like, you can kind of do things yourself and figure out what you want to do. Kids, since we were debating this all night long, I went to sleep. I woke up in the morning, and then it was halachic debates in different Torah the whole time. It was mamish. The flight was horrific, but the Shabbos was unbelievable. You know, I wake up in the morning, and this is also funny. There's this one chassid sitting there drinking tea. And another chassid's like saying, you did it, Aser. You did it, Aser. And now you're drinking it. It's Maaseh Shabbos, and still Aser. And the first guy who's drinking the tea couldn't care less. Just sitting there drinking. And I was like, right? So I'm sitting there thinking, like, I want a glass of tea. That's a great move. He's like, you can't have this. I think, let me go see. I walk over to the tea lady. And it's a whole, again, I go for the Hilchos Shabbos stuff. You know, they don't have tea bags. They have mamish leaves. So to make it yourself, you have to maybe a klishli, you can make it, but she's making the tea for everyone, and she's doing it, she puts the tea in like a tea kettle, and she puts the leaves in on top, and then she closes it, and you have to pour it out. So bishalak, and you could stop because it's all water. You know, nechak moshu chai, it's all water, you can wipe out, that's a problem. But her making the tea was a difficult thing, because it's all in a klishe. So, and then she does iwari klishe, and she turns it, and it's going, you know, the water's going in. So that's like a shayla. But the truth is, for a guy to do, you write cliche, she could rely upon the Rashbam. Like, a guy doesn't have to be mach, but like, Tosha Serbian of time, they could rely upon the Rashbam, and you write cliche, and it's cliche. Fine. Anyhow, that was one thing. Then the new hot water is going to go in, which you open, is like a knob she opens. That's new hot water goes in. So if it comes in later, that's grandma. So again, immediately nachri for grandma is okay. A guy could do grandma. Maybe it's a psik ratio, because the water goes in immediately. Okay, for psik ratio, rely upon a guy also. Then I get my little tea kettle, and I'm worried about pouring the tea water out, because if you pour it out, the water goes down, and it's, you know, it's like making like bow rare, because the water right now is mixed in with the tea leaves in a little net. And I was worried about that. So some chassid goes, I'll solve your problem, comes over, and like pours out half my tea and half my water, which was great, but I still had the tea leaves in the thing. Now I just had half as much tea, half as much water, no problem solved. So we had a whole discussion how I can get it out. I said, I think if I pull out the little net really quickly and tilt the thing, I'll be able to get out enough water with it that I'll be mu'urav together. And this way, it's like, you know, you're putting out good and bad together. There's like a Taz. The Taz writes, although some Acharon disagree with the Taz, and like, you put, if there's a bowl of soup, you're going to pull a fly out, so that you can, there's like a Taz Beit, no, not Taz Beit, one Acharon, Ma'aritz, or something like that. The Be'er Heitiv quotes, like, some Acharon who believe you can pull the fly out, not a problem with Tarobas. But according to the Taz, you can't. You have to lift up the whole spoonful with the soup and the fly in it. So Mishnah Berurah says, because you're allowed to do bow rare if it's taking out good and bad together. But Chaznish thinks he got it wrong. He thinks it's, no, you're removing the whole Tarobas. Then even out, if people are in Hilchos Shabbos, this rings a bell, great. So I told him I relied upon the Mishnah Berurah. He agreed, I agreed, I pulled out my tea, I had my good tea. Fine, we sat around, people sharing different Torah for like 3 hours straight till Shacharis. Then we dive in Shacharis. And lunch, you just meet these great people. I met this guy who wrote an article, Ben Chayfetz. He's like the whole time saying, I want to write an article. Once he saw this article that was written in the more left-wing newspapers and was calling it fake news, you know, Shabbos, he's like, I got to write a good article. It's important people should know the truth, that it was, people were not rioting, but respectfully asking not to be Mechal Shabbos, which is a totally different story. You know, asking to get off the plane opposed to, like, you know, beating stewardesses, you know, like stuff like that. So he's this unbelievable guy from Cleveland. You know, he's a yeshivish guy. He's sitting up, he's sitting in business class, this whole thing. He also gave a lot of, oh, because I'm with him Shacharis time. Shachus is also remarkable. This guy, Rabbi Akiva Katz, he's like a, he's a guy who's like running a lot of this stuff. He was passing shilas, he was doing all sorts of stuff. So he gets up there, goes to Chabad, who've been unbelievably good to us. Everyone gives a tremendous shikor. We should all write checks to them and thank them, give stock to his organization. Have a claps and thanks. We should all, you know, they're trying to build a mikveh, they need a little bit of money, right? I'm not mistaken. He didn't say this, but people were talking afterwards, like the women, whoever's from an Athens is flying to Rome once a month for like mikveh. Like just mysterious nefesh. I don't know exactly. People were talking about that. Fine. Then, just we should what Chabad does. He left me like, they're tzaddikim. Anyhow, so he goes, I want everyone to make a donation. Fine. Then he goes, we're going to auction off the aliyahs. Fine. They auction off the aliyahs. This guy wants $5,000 for this aliyah. This guy pays $5,000 for a second, for the third aliyah. This guy wants $180, all different aliyahs. And they raise like, you know, $10,000, $12,000 for the mikvah. Then he says, I'm going to go around the room and everyone has to say how much money they're going to give. You know, so I thought that was very...
Why are you allowed to do this on Shabbos?
It's for a bar mitzvah. So then, I mean, the question is, are you allowed to do that at all? Meaning, the two parts, the donating the Shabbos. But I thought that was really, like, not right. People don't want to give it. So I raised my hand very loud. Like, I raised my hand, I'm like, I'll make first. I'm going to give a donation and not say how much. This way, at least if someone else wants to do the same thing, like I was the Nachshon Maimonides. Anyhow, so people, some people have made donations. Then they go to the end of the Haftorah, this guy goes up there and goes, I know people, and I think I could bring in $72,000 more for this mikvah. Unbelievable. Everyone claps that, you know.
Really specific.
I don't know. So they're trying to build a mikvah in Athens. Then. Feel free to make a donation if you're interested in doing a nice thing for an Ezra organization. But kids, I met this guy, Ben Chaifetz, who wrote the article. So he's the whole time, he and I were schmoozing. He's like a real Hamish guy. And he's like, you know, we're trying to figure out the right positive spin. He's very positive. I see myself as a positive person also. We're trying our best to figure it. He's like, my daughter's learning here in seminary. Not here in MMY, but here in Israel. He's like, I flew out for 8 days. I'm so happy I get to spend Shabbos this way. I would have loved to spend Shabbos with my daughter, but this is the greatest Shabbos, singing and connecting with Jews and inspiring people and getting inspired. This is just the most wonderful Shabbos. He was such an optimist. I miss my cousin's bar mitzvah, so I couldn't say that. But I did have a different perspective. I thought if I get stuck in New York, the whole family would be like, what, you took a Thursday night flight and didn't make it? Irresponsible, how could you? But once I was alone in Athens, oh, Nebuch, Jesse, please. Oh, did you make it? So good to have you back. You know, you made it. You must have been so alone. And, you know, for Shabbos, I got all the pity I needed. It worked out well. Anyhow, so we're sharing different Torah, and he's telling me stories. So he owns a software company. He comes from Central East. He calls it software. Fine. And he hire people. He goes into the cold, and he pulls out people in the cold, and he thinks they'll do a good job. You know, the whole place is for him. And he's like, he brings in a Musser schmooze, you know, three times a week, and Sichas Musser, and to work for me, you need two things. But what is good midos? You have to be a team player, easygoing, flexible, responsible. If a guy calls out 4 weeks because his kids are 4 days in a row in a week because the kids are sick, I fire him 1, 2, 3. I spoke to my Rebbe, the man was like, he speaks to his Rebbe at everything. You know, he's on the phone talking to his Rebbe. Should I stand up now or should I sit down now? Because on the one hand, Saretskin just said this, but the flight guy just said this. He was like, the whole time on the phone with his Rebbe, exactly what to do halacha l'maisa. He's like a really frum guy. Like a real good Baal Bas. I don't think he's like a huge tamachachim. He's like a really good, you know, asking child is all throughout. Anyhow, so he's like, he asks, before he fires anyone, he asks his Rebbe, am I allowed to fire? And he coaches him through the workers and whatnot. You know, I'm like, you're not a company. You are a Musser yeshiva, a Musser kol that pays more better salaries than most other Musser places. He's like, yeah, and you're the mashkiach, you know. Not a boss, you're the mashkiach. Anyhow, he liked that. So then he tells me, the other thing I can't let people do is if they have to go speak English properly. Like if a guy says yeshivish a sentence, no good. I'm like, well, what's an example of yeshivish a sentence? He's like, I'll tell you. I threw out the window to my mother a towel. You know, that was the yeshivish a sentence. Now he's like, I can't have people speak in a writing like that. He wrote beautifully. If anyone saw his article on Yeshiva World News. So he writes beautifully. It was so well written and so positive. It's just a great spin. Anyhow, so meanwhile, we're all Shabbos afternoon, Shal Shudis, whoever Shal Shudis, whoever the bagels, we have Mar, we sing a very nice Havdalah, we offer a Kiddush Levana. There was no Levana, there was clouds. So we had a little Malav Malka, like the Chabad can give us whatever we needed. They were fantastic. And you meet like, I met this guy, I met like so many interesting people on the plane. There was like this guy Katzel, who was like a former MK. He was fantastic. You know, he's walking around doing his thing. And it was just really like a really, really nice group of people. There's this guy, Bezalel Steinhardt, who was sat with us one meal, and he heard me and Ben and I talking. I don't know exactly. He said, I said, but together we developed the following thought. And this is maybe the most important message I'll leave you with, and maybe I'll stop with this as well. I wanted to be crystal clear to my children that no matter what happens, there were 180 people who had 180 places to get to. I had my nephew's bar mitzvah. There was a guy named Rabbi Gorelick, Rabbi Yochanan Gorelick's grandson. We had a wonderful shmooze about all his family and in South Fallsburg and Fallsburg and NYU. It's a fascinating thing, And he was being flown out for a bar mitzvah just for Shabbos. And then being flown back Saturday night. He missed his bar mitzvah. I missed my nephew's bar mitzvah. There was a lady who has her mother's casket underneath the plane.
Oh, my God.
And they flew the body out there to Israel, and she stayed back also. There were 180 people with 180 reasons to get on the second plane and go back, and 180 people said, I don't care what all the reasons are, Shabbos is Shabbos, and that's what we're doing. And I called up my wife after Motzei Shabbos and said, Tara, I want you to tell all the kids, Abba loves them and misses them and has great gifts for them and can't wait to come home and want them to be at the bar mitzvah, want them to be with the family. But Abba knows when it's Shabbos, he keeps Shabbos, and I want to tell every one of my kids, that's what you do when it comes time for Shabbos. And that's we really felt that sense of like both Achdus and Achdus keeping Shabbos together. This guy Sretzkin gets it because there's two times Jews get together no matter who they are. One is at the hospital, two is on an airplane. Other rest of the times we're fighting Hashkafa. This, we're going to continue and Achdus will play out and we should have a wonderful, as we said, fighting Shabbos together. But kids, sir, that was some of my experience. Have a wonderful afternoon.